Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, where we discuss everything in the Hooniverse. Join us each week as we bring you news, rumor, and recap.
Spoilers.
We'll be discussing episodes that have already aired, as well as news that's already public knowledge. But if we get into anything too serious, don't worry. We'll warn you again. And now your hosts, Jay Witten.
All right, fine. Put logic into my stuff. See how it is.
And Melissa Mazza.
Drink every time you blink. Hello and welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio. I have no idea what episode number this is, but my lovely co-host Jay does. Jay, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, and this is episode 17.
I know you enough. So we just had some technical misadventures, so I apologize if I sound a little flustered, but that's all fixed. And tonight we are watching
The Power of Three.
Yes. So tonight I am back in front of my DVR, so I have commercials to blow through, so I apologize if we get a little unsynced with the episode. But, if anyone, in the future wants to sync up with this episode and wants to watch it, if you have a DVR, follow me.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll try and edit it to make it as smooth as possible, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, so there were a few things that happened this week that I wanted to touch on, some news stories that came out. Obviously, the big one that's kind of flown under the radar, like not a lot of people have actually caught this one, but come Christmas, we are actually going to see a new TARDIS.
Yes.
There's going to be a new TARDIS control room, and right now there's only been, one image that's been released, and it's just a simple, it looks like it's going to go above the console, and it's just little segments with Gallifreyan writing on it, so I have no clue.
Yeah, it's definitely like a cooler color scheme than the oranges that we've been seeing lately. And the Gallifreyan writing, Gallifreyan it could be, but anyway, the Gallifrey language, we haven't seen a lot of that lately.
It's always kind of tucked in there if it is. It's never predominant. But, I mean, this is just another example of that. The only reason why it's talked about right now is because that's the only picture we have. So, I've kind of stuck with the theory that, the TARDIS is upset and she misses the pawns, and so she kind of had to get a little makeover to make herself happy. I don't know.
Yeah, knowing the TARDIS personified now that we've had these episodes, I totally agree with you.
Let's see, there was actually, it was released that Sir Ian McKellen, none other than Gandalf and Magneto and countless other roles, is going to be voicing the snowman in the Christmas special.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was, I mean, you've got, Richard Grant in it, but to get Ian McKellen as well, it's like, wow, they're really pulling out all the stops on this one.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about the Christmas episodes, and they're so hit and miss, and I really feel like this one, especially now that Ian McKellen has given his stamp of approval to it by being in it, is going to be a hit. It's going to be a good Christmas episode.
Yeah, I definitely have my hopes up for it. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm definitely interested in seeing how it goes. Yeah. So let's see, there were a couple of other things. There's a new trailer out, which is basically the same footage that we've seen, just spliced together differently. You do get to see more of Clara's personality in this, though. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting in that aspect. And at one point, she grabs the doctor's hand and starts running, and he's protesting. He's like, no, I do the hand grabbing. You can't do this. This is my job. So
I haven't seen this trailer, so that sounds like him.
Yeah, so I'm very, very excited. We're less than 2 weeks away now, so it's definitely getting wound up here.
He apparently has a new bow tie now. His uniform, we've talked about this before, is going to change a little bit, his normal outfit. It's become a little bit more somber, darker, and he has a dark bow tie. And like I said, I have not actually seen this trailer, but I'm looking right now at a website with a still from it. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's transitioning into that wardrobe now, the dark bow tie.
Yeah. Now, whether or not this is going to stick throughout the whole season, it's tough to say right now, so... We'll see how it plays out actually come April. BBC has confirm that the rest of Series 7 will start in April.
Okay.
This kind of fits because it traditionally starts off with on around Easter. So Easter next year being, I think it's March 31st. So they've confirmed that it is actually going to start in April. So
nice.
We don't have a specific date yet, and we probably won't for quite some time. But at least now we've got a general time frame to look at.
So we need to make this Christmas episode, like, hold on to it for dear life until April.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the bottom line there.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about all I've got, unless you've got some more news that I've somehow missed.
No, I mean, I've just, not really news exactly, but I've noticed that John Barrowman has been inserting himself everywhere lately. He was co-hosting Attack of the Show for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now, it says the Doctor Who ultimate list of lists, and there's a BBC America special that's going to air Friday, December 21st. John Barrowman and Asha Leo, who is BBC America's pop culture correspondent, are going to be leading it. So anyone who has BBC America should check that out. I know that you don't. So
yeah. Yeah, well.
Sorry about this before.
Yeah.
They always do these Doctor Who lists, though, on BBC America.
Yeah, just ramping up, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I guess that about covers everything that's come out this past week. So, are you ready to start this thing?
I am all queued up, ready to watch, are you?
Yep. Yeah, so, all right, so we will go ahead and try syncing this up. Hopefully it works out okay. But, we'll go in 3, 2, 1, go. Yay, flashbacks. I love her scream there. It was great. I really thought they were going to play this up more. I mean, I guess they kind of did, but the way that they featured this little exchange right here in the next time thing last week, I really thought it was going to be a more serious thing.
The commercials played it up like that was what the episode was going to be about.
Yeah. And I mean, it kind of was. It was just that part wasn't so predominant.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually my favorite part of this episode. Like, it's weird that he does this as a companion. He sees them every couple of years and stuff. You know, it's not like he's taking Rose with him and getting her trapped somewhere.
Yeah. Yay, the boxes.
I'm always kind of pissed to myself that I didn't make the connection earlier with the boxes and the name, the power of three, as in to the third power.
Right, cubed, yes. That was one of those, like, really obscure things, and I felt like they tagged in that explanation at the end just so that people could get it, because, I mean, that really was an obscure reference.
I still feel like I should have made the connection.
Ryan!
I love Brian in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, this really is where Brian shines. I mean, really. And I love that Amy knows exactly where to look to find him. Does he have a monocle? Was he using a monocle right there? That is awesome. So you skip the bow tie, go with the monocle. Monocles are cool.
I never even noticed that. That was definitely a monocle.
And then here's the cameo from Brian Cox.
Mm-hmm.
I And here's one of the great parts from Brian. Deadly hard drives. I was seriously waiting for him to, like, pat him on the head. You've got a job. Oh, and here comes Unit. Love that they've just got random computer wires all cobbled together there.
Why do they have those just on hand?
Yeah. That harkens back to the old classic Doctor Who where the control panel was made of just like whatever crap they had laying around. Kate Stewart. Yeah. Someone pointed out that I was listening to something, and they were talking about this, and they said that they really didn't like Kate Stewart all that much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the fact that, you know, she was the Brigadier's daughter that you get those nostalgic feelings for her, and that's what kind of carries her performance.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. It's one opinion. I don't know. I liked her regardless.
I have never seen any of the Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart's episodes where he was in it. So, personally, just from not having ever seen that, I like her character on its own. But I could definitely, like, I think if I saw those episodes, I'd be like, oh man, like, that's cool, she was his daughter.
Yeah, it's...
She's great here.
Yeah, and I mean, if you get someone like Gemma Redgrave, you know, with that kind of acting caliber, you know, you've got to expect something good.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Is Rory still in his underwear?
Probably so. I don't know. It's... Team Cube. I love that he goes nuts after 4 days. I think Matt Smith really got to have fun with the role in this episode.
So did Karen.
Yeah. And begin the montage. Now see, he was just pulling computer wiring out of the car.
What was that?
Oh,
There he is in a dark bow tie, actually, now that I mentioned it.
Depends on the lighting, I guess.
It's been an hour.
Four days ago. The pond men. Brilliant box watchers. I actually saw a picture online. It was a drawing of Brian watching one of the little cubes, and then the other side of the cube was actually the Pandorica, and I had Rory sitting next to it. And it was kind of cool seeing those two sides of it.
That is cool. I want to see that.
It's like,
they watch very well.
Yes, they watch boxes. That's what they do.
The pond men.
Yeah, I mean, you have to admit, this is brilliantly done in the way that, you know, it's realistic. It's like, if these things showed up, yes, there'd be mass panic all of a sudden, and then it would just go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody would care anymore. They're just there. Yeah, it's a box. Whatever. And here you see the pond's life go on.
Yeah. They committed.
Yeah. It's a scary thought. I mean, that's one thing I love about this episode, is that it's very, you know, very character-oriented, and you really get to see more than just their crazy adventures with the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Brian's log.
Brian's log.
I love Brian. Yeah, I mean, it really does seem to to show off the fact that they can live without the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think that's kind of the overall theme of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor is secondary here. Doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. Then, you know, Brian's just got all kinds of free time so that he can just sit around and watch boxes for a year, and it's all good. I love that part. Guy with his foot stuck in a toilet, and Rory's just like, again. It's like, what leads to that? It's like, how do you do that? You know, and how do you do that twice, actually?
And here we have these creatures. Finally, it becomes a monster episode.
Yeah. And then the creepy little girl. And see, I mean, this is exactly how it would be.
Yep, everyone's using them for practical purposes.
Yeah. That, or they would just get thrown out, you know.
Yeah. We'd have a special landfill for the cubes.
Pretty much, yeah. But no, I could see, yeah, well, they're all thrown away and everything. But, no. Now see, one thing about this episode that really struck me once I watched it again is that it's very RTD. Yeah, this is very much like an RTD episode. Yeah, it's a lot of character development, a lot of, you know, very kind of slow in the beginning. But,
yeah.
You know, and then everything gets kind of crammed in at the end, tried to get resolved and with a horrible, you know, horrible plot or whatever. But, yeah, it's very character driven.
Yes. The horrible plot is not necessarily you know, exclusive to RTD.
Yeah.
The character-driven stuff, yes, I see what you mean. Now here, what are they, on the Titanic or something? I missed it.
No, they're in a hotel.
Oh.
And then the reference to the Zygons. Alright, now here, when Rory gets underneath the bed, he should have his phone charger with him.
Yeah. This is what I was talking about last week, because apparently, I forgot, but they mentioned it in the last episode.
Yes, yeah.
So these events must have occurred to them before those.
Yeah, see, it's right there in front of his hands.
Yep.
So, I mean, that really does make you wonder. And then, you know, Brian just doesn't even hesitate. He just knows.
Yeah.
I love it.
The Brian and the Doctor stuff is the best.
Yeah, and I mean, this, you see the Doctor actually get real here with Brian. And that's, you know, more real than he gets with most people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially someone who's not even, like, really a companion.
Reminds me a lot of Donna's grandfather, Wilfred.
Yeah. He does definitely fill in that role a little bit. I feel like this episode began the emotional manipulation, really.
No, they were working on it since... for this season.
Well, no, yeah, but I'm saying, like, this is where it really, like, okay, you guys know what's coming, now we're really gonna lay it on thick to make it worse next week. It's like, I mean, there were the occasional comments, like in Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
Yeah, where they stopped short when she said, or after, or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is, but, yeah.
They've been building up for the Pawn's departure for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But you're right, this one just rubs it in.
Yeah, they really laid on thick with this one.
Here's Brian.
Yeah. And he nods off. See, that just seems ridiculous to me. It's like, how are you going to go and sell cubes when you can just go and pick them up off the street?
Someone will sell cubes. That also felt realistic.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're eating the fish fingers and custard.
Yeah, I still love that. The box moved. And now we enter the last, like, you know, 15 minutes of the episode where they've got to cram everything in.
Yeah. That's the pacing of the episode is what has bugged me this whole season, and this one exemplifies that.
Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, this does feel very, very RTD because it's, you know, they kind of... you know, mess around with stuff here and there, and it's just like, yeah, okay, there's a little bit of plot, and then, you know, they've got like 10 minutes left, they're like, oh crap, we've got to do something with this.
Yeah. Story is secondary.
Yeah.
What I like, though, is that I think Brian was like the first person on Earth to notice that the cubes were changing.
Yeah, well, yeah,
you know,
they've been day in, day out for a year, so.
Yeah.
I love the Doctor playing Wii in his little house slippers.
I did not notice the house slippers.
I really want one of those boxes. It doesn't even have to light up. I just want the cube.
I told you someone could sell the cubes.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, and the doctor, like, you know, doesn't even notice at first what's going on.
Yeah. There he is, the oncoming storm.
Yeah.
Even playing Wii.
Love the reference to K-9.
Where are Matt Smith's eyebrows? Jeez.
Congratulations, you have read the internet. Oh, that was the TV. That wasn't even the computer.
Yeah. Just took my pulse.
I love this. He comes in like, it moved. It rattled. Now see, this bothered me. Alright, later on, you know, they say that all of the cubes became active all at once, right? The cubes just became active, right? And yet, people are already at the hospital saying they were attacked by them. Like, how does that work?
Good point.
One of those things that just don't have it all straightened out.
The people who are already at the hospital.
Yeah, that must have been it. They were sitting in the waiting room, like.
Yeah, and some cubes attacked them.
Yeah. I see Amy's line there. I like her. That chicken dick. Yeah, I love the doctor's face there. Just like absolutely furious. Now see, he's got eyebrows there. It's just certain lighting that makes him look.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're right. I noticed that. No eyebrows in the next shot.
Yeah, it's just certain ways he turns his head and they lose their color.
Yeah.
No. This has been the Dr. Eyebrow Report.
This is what I noticed.
That guy's glasses are like massive.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm after my 15 minutes of fame, I'm gonna wear the biggest glasses I can find.
He reminds me a lot of Dwight from The Office.
I was thinking that.
From the US version of The Office. This little heartfelt, you know, the heart-to-heart talk that they have here is awesome.
Yeah.
It's the only time that we really get it this season, too.
Yeah, and it's definitely underscoring the departure of the pollens, too.
Yeah, yeah. I love that line too. The traveling is starting to feel like running away.
Yeah.
And then the doctor's explanation about his traveling. And I mean, this really did make me understand it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like before I'm like, you know, how can you travel for, you know, 900, 1200, 14, I don't know how old he's saying he is now, but. It's like, how can you travel for that long and not get tired of it? You know, I mean, I know that there's always stuff to see, but, you know, it's like, what's the drive? And then it's like, this really does seem to fill that out.
Yeah, you get it. Matt Smith is great at doing that.
Yeah, very much so.
I like whatever her lipstick is right there. That's part of the Matt Smith eyebrow report. I like Karen Gillan's lipstick.
No, there's not much about Karen Gillan I don't like.
Yeah, same here.
Did I say that out loud? Yeah. No, my wife doesn't listen to this podcast. What are you talking about? And back to the action.
Yep.
And there's the lights going out.
In the Tower of London.
Which they never should have been able to. Yeah, and see, she just said this, it shouldn't be possible for the lights to go out. So there's the light reference, Keir. Yeah, see, that's the thing that kind of confused me, too. The episode's called The Power of Three, and then it's just like they keep blasting seven through the whole episode.
I didn't notice any other sevens.
The seven portals, the seven ships, the seven something or other, I don't know.
Fair enough.
And that really is what it is, too. It's like if you leave something around people long enough, they'll figure out a way to integrate it into their lives,
yeah,
whether they should or not.
That's the scary thing about this episode. That's 100% true.
It's like I can guarantee you if I woke up tomorrow and, you know, there was a bunch of little black boxes all over the place, then, you know, I'd eventually wind up with, you know, hundreds of them in my house. Yeah. And then Brian's just reading the sailing bag. That is a long hallway.
Well, when you see that it goes in both directions, I can see it goes. Back to these face guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't really understand the what was the deal with their mouths? Because it's like, it's all about cubes, and then they've got, like, hexagons for mouths. Like, how does that fit the theme?
I have no idea.
And I love how the tape is cut so correctly to open up. It makes it look like it's tied off or cut, taped off, but.
I did not notice that.
See, that's the part that bothers me. Like, Rory goes in, pounds on one door, but then he understands, oh wait, the back one is the weird thing I should be careful of. It's like, why didn't you pound on that like you pounded on the other one?
Yeah.
And here he goes, sacrificing himself. They showed him, like, all in the same place, like, you know, in with the silverware in the diner. It's like, if there were people in there, they should have been chucked outside, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as they started acting weird or lighting up, yeah, those things would have been out the door. Empty box. Glasses. And he even calls them glasses. That's great. Like, you have no other discernible feature aside from those massive glasses that cover half your face. So the cubes were on Earth for a year before they realized, oh, hey, they've got a heart. We just need to kill that.
I was watching a David Tennant episode, and he did this whole routine, same thing, where one of his hearts got, and he was acting the same way. I forgot what the episode was now.
Huh. I don't remember that. The only thing I can think of is the episode where he took Rose to New York.
That might have been it. I watched it recently.
Yeah, when he was possessed by Cassandra.
Oh no! You know the one I watched was the one with Martha when she was like, "You took me to the same place you took Rose."
Yeah. And that really was the whole theme of that too, was he was just trying to fill the hole in his heart that Rose left.
Yeah.
Now that aerial shot that they showed there was actually one of the old BBC buildings. I'm not sure if it's actually still in use or not, but it was one of the original buildings that they did a lot of stuff for Classic Who in.
Oh, okay.
Some interesting trivia.
Yeah, his bow tie's red again. I think you're right, it's the lighting.
And the little girl, the creepy little girl, is watching him. That whole android thing doesn't make sense to me. It's like, what? If you had the cubes there to observe them, why do you need androids?
Yeah, and how many of them were there? Like, he disabled her. Does that mean... Yeah.
And here comes medical professional Amy Williams. I've got a friend who works in the medical field. And she was very irritated that they did this.
It's like, oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. The whole restarting a heart with a defibrillator. It's like, they don't work that way. That's not why they get used.
I heard if you start a heart after it's stopped, that you kill the person no matter what. It has to be before. Well,
apparently defibrillators are used to correct, like, abnormal rhythms.
Okay. It basically, not a, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically like, you know, toggling the switch real quick to get it. But she, every time something like that comes up, she just rants about it. It's hilarious. Yeah. She's got such a weird hunch to his shoulders and stuff there. It's like, and the same shot of the spaceship as they had before. Now see, okay, I can understand him saving, Rory and Brian, but what about the rest of the people in there?
Yeah.
Are those people?
Brian, take
it. It's like, what the hell? Yeah, it's like, what's wrong with all those other people? Are they actually already dead? And if so, why didn't they kill off Rory and Brian?
I always assumed that they were somehow freed at the end of this or something. wishful thinking. But.
Maybe. This character is just so... I mean, aside from being here to give exposition and explain the lame attempt at a plot, it's like, it's just completely pointless.
I remember watching this the first time being like, who the hell is this guy?
It's the Emperor.
Show up Star from it. It's Palpatine.
I wonder if they're going to carry over the whole tally into the second half of the series. Yeah, it just seems weird that they would throw something in here like that, just and it served absolutely no purpose. But
I kind of agree, but I don't know where they can go with it.
Yeah, I mean, it almost does seem like they, at this point, the writer's just pounding furiously on the keyboard trying to get words out. Yeah, it's like, I've only got a page left of script. There, do it. So he seriously looks like Palpatine. Confuses me. I'm like, okay, so you've already attacked people with the cubes, and you're going to put more of them in there. What's that going to do for you?
Yeah.
It's like people aren't going to pick them up and put them back in their house and be like, oh, well, I guess the threat's over.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what they do, but I still feel like this is like, I'm not feeling scared at this point. Like, the cubes are going to take over.
Yeah, exactly. See, this part just bothered me. I'm like, it's a sonic screwdriver, not a magic wand. And he just sits there and waves it around like it's going to fix it. That's one thing that bothers me with Stephen Moffat era is the fact that it's partly psychic and it has no settings or anything. He just pushes buttons and stares at it. And it's like, at least before, the Doctor Dances. Yeah, he tells Rose, go for this setting, it's repairing fencing or something. And
does he say that?
Yeah. So it's like, she actually has to use settings on it. So it seems more like a tool. Whereas, with the 11th Doctor, he's just constantly waving it around like it's a magic wand.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't imagine him saying it doesn't work on wood. When all the, actually, no, that's not true. He says it in the Christmas special about the trees.
Yeah.
But his is my least favorite sonic screwdriver, I have to say.
Yeah.
And the cubes are reversed and everyone's fine.
Everybody gets fixed. That's...
He said just this once.
Just this once, everybody lives until I do it again in a couple of weeks. I really hope that they bring Kate Stewart back.
Yeah.
I mean, don't throw her in like they had with the Brig all those times, but, you know, at least bring her back every now and again. Make a cameo.
Well, I mean, she works for UNIT, and we haven't seen anything of UNIT, and that's a great throwback to some other episodes, so.
Yeah. And here comes Brian sealing their fate. I love Brian's little speech here, though.
I'm gonna cry.
He really gets it. You know, he really understands what it means to travel with a doctor, you know? Even though he's never done it, he has it figured out.
You know, at the very end, when they do end up getting stuck by the Weeping Angels, I wonder if they didn't even need to send a note to Brian. He probably would have understood.
Yeah, but Rory needed to be able to say goodbye to him, you know?
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite things. But.
And right here, this is the last time that they ever walked into the TARDIS together. And I've seen, like, the behind-the-scenes thing, and you see them all kind of go in there, and then a couple seconds later, they all come walking out all, like, teary-eyed and everything.
Yeah, oh my god, I've seen that too. I didn't realize that was this episode.
Yeah.
I really am going to cry. Oh my god.
No. And here oh, sorry, I just saw the smiling angel, and that just, I'm sorry, that's more terrifying than the screaming ones.
Agreed. When you said that, though, what I was seeing was Amy and Rory jumping off the building, and that was the preview that they showed for next week, which made me like, oh my god.
Yeah. So that was the penultimate Pond episode.
The Power of Three, which Brian Pond, son, Brian, whatever, Williams summed up very beautifully, which, you know, it's the doctor that they can't live without.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like the episode. In all, did you like it or?
Yeah, my three favorites from this first part of the series are definitely Angels Take Manhattan, Asylum of the Daleks, and Power of Three. I have a hard time saying which one, you know, ranking those three, but this is definitely one of the top three favorites.
Yeah.
So,
I three mean, out of five, though.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite out of those three for me. You know, they're each really good in their own way. You know, I like this one because it did harken back to the Who that I got into when I was first introduced, which was very much, you know, hear your characters, build on those, and then, you know, the monsters are ancillary, which does seem to get old after a bit. I mean, going back and watching it again now, it's kind of like, yeah, it really is pointless even having a monster in there, and, you know, there are definitely flaws with it, but, I mean, all in all, I'd have to give this one a 4. You know, it could have been done a lot better, but all in all, I mean, it was still a good episode.
I agree with everything that you just said, but I would give it a 3 just overall because I feel like this is something you've said several times. This felt like RTD. Obviously, that means Russell T. Davies. I feel like he could have made this a better episode. No offense to Stephen Moffat, because I, you know, worship the ground he walks on, but like, I really feel like if this were a real RTD episode, it would have a little bit different feel and might have actually incorporated the classic Who elements better. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe I'm just pulling that out of nowhere, but but that's kind of where I see it. So I would say everything that you said, yes, great episode, great character development, all that, but a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I don't know, maybe I'm giving it a little bit more credit because I'm looking at, you know, this is the second Chris Chibnall episode, and I'm comparing it to the previous one, which was Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, and it's just, when you do that, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of difference there, so. But, no, I enjoyed it. I don't think this is gonna go down as one of my all-time favorite episodes ever, but it'll definitely be on the, you know, rewatch list if I want something that's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was fun like Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, but just better in terms of story. And I think one of Chris Chibnall's biggest strengths this season has been the character of Ryan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he definitely gets a free pass in my book because he introduced Brian. I wish that we could see more of him, but yeah, it's obviously not going to happen now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a great character, and yeah, I really think the actor who played him did a brilliant job. I mean, he really did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Potterhead, as I know that you are, but I know that he is a great actor outside of Doctor Who. So I loved him as Brian, but I bet you know even more that he's a great general.
Yeah, he really is, but I just, the warmth and character that he brought to Brian was just absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you could find other actors that could do just as well with it, but there was something about his portrayal that just was absolutely fantastic, you know? But anyway, well, do you have anything else closing up?
No, I'm very glad that my laptop charged less. So, but then the next episode is going to be,
The Angels Take Manhattan.
Yeah, Angels Take Manhattan. Wow. And, after that, we're going to be doing Christmas. So obviously we won't be doing the Christmas episode the day that it airs, but hopefully, you know, we'll talk about that. But, so we're one episode away basically from new content, and the next episode is crazy. It's the,
yeah, I was looking forward to doing this one. I'm not looking forward to next week. I've watched it once. Technically twice, but I'm not looking forward to watching it again.
Yeah. No, I completely hear that. I'm actually interested, because I only did watch it live, and I'm interested to see how I react to it a second time.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, and hopefully next week we should have Kier back with us. He had some stuff come up today, and, you know, real life kind of takes precedence, so we should have him back with us for next week, but if not, you'll definitely have a commentary anyway. So we will see you guys next week.
All right. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week on iTunes or at gallifreypublicradio.podbean.com. Have something you want to say or just want to say hello? Send us an email at gallifreypublicradio@gmail.com or leave us a comment on iTunes. You can also find us at Twitter